attend all the time. A lot of times I like to use this particular service to kind of teach you a little bit. And I'm in a teaching mode today, and I want to teach today, but I'm also going to preach at the same time. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's look at chapter 10. Now, chapter 10 is a pivotal book in the book of Isaiah. It records the salvation of the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles are us. You and us, those persons who are not Jews. He's talking about the Gentiles. Peter opens the door of faith for the Jews in Acts 2. And then for the Samaritan in Acts chapter 8. And now Peter God uses Peter to bring the Gentiles, I'm talking about the non-Jews, into the church in chapter 10. This is where we are. Now this happened, watch this now, 10 years after the Pentecost. And I know that some of you may be asking the question, why did the apostles, watch this, wait so long before converting the Gentiles into the church? And after all, Jesus did say, give the Great Commission. Then he said, Matthew, he said, go into the parts of the world, preach, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. And he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end. He told them that. And it would seem logical, watch this now, that they would have gone a lot sooner to their Gentile neighbors. Come on, talk back to me now. I told you I wouldn't teach it. But now, how many know that God's timing is not the same as ours? For some of you, you can look at yourself. Look how long it took for God to change your life. Look how long it took for him for you to realize that you had to go through a process in order for him to get you to where you are right now. And Beulah, can I tell you, you're still going through the process because God ain't through with you yet. So pull your head up out of the air. Quit being so sanctimonious because you haven't arrived yet. We are still in the molding process. God is still working on all of us. And I'll be the first to admit now, I got some issues. But the Lord still uses me to preach his gospel. He still uses me to tell everybody about his grace and his mercy. But I'm so thankful for those old saints who knew what they were talking about when they said, I'm not what I ought to be. But I'm so grateful to God I'm not what I used to be. Is there anybody in here this morning glad that you're not what you used to be? You haven't made it yet, but you're on the right path. Now, our text may not look like much on the surface, but it has some principles that we all need to know. In our text, there was a certain man who lived in Caesarea whose name was Cornelius. Now, Cornelius, watch this, was an officer in the Roman army and he had this little brigade called the Italian Band. Now, he was a centurion officer in charge of about 100 men, okay? But Beulah, this man, the Bible said, had an unusual reverence for God. He was a devout man. That's what the Bible said. He was devout, but he was unsaved. He was a man who feared God with all of his house, but he was unsaved. A man who gave to the poor, but he was unsaved. A man who prayed always, continuously to God, but he was unsaved. Listen, you know, all of these things are wonderful attributes, and the Lord notices these things, but none of these things will save you. I wish I had some witnesses in here this morning. You can give to the poor, you can feed the hungry, you can pray constantly, sing in the choir, teach Sunday school, work in the church ministry, but none of these things can save you. Even though Cornelius heard about Christ and was reverent and generous, he did good works and sought after God, but he was still unsaved. Because being religious does not constitute salvation. There must be an acceptance of Christ and his finished work if you are to be saved. Here it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so I want to give you some working principles just for our general knowledge to help us understand God's divine principle. Watch it. And so the first thing we see in the text is the principle of service. Send men to Joppa. Now, God sent an angel to speak to Cornelius. It's right there in the scriptures. The same man, according to scriptures, who was devout, feared God, gave to the poor, prayed constantly, and was unsaved. Can I tell you, Mueller, God's ears are always open to prayer. And this is a perfect example that God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Come on, talk back to me here. And if you sincerely seek God, you will find him. Am I right about it? And Mueller, God heard Cornelius' prayer. Now, when I looked at this text, and I start wondering, I say, I thought to myself, why wouldn't God just send the angel to Peter to come and share the gospel with him? Why he didn't send the angel himself? The angel himself could have shared the gospel. But here's the fact of the matter. Salvation is a divine work of grace. God will always give you an opportunity for you to serve him, because God works through human channels. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching? And how can they preach unless they are sick? I wish I had some help in here this morning. All I'm trying to tell you, God works through human channels. Listen, angels can deliver God's message to the lost men, but they can't preach the gospel to them. That's our responsibility. It's right there in scripture. In the previous verses, why it says the angels told Cornelius that his prayers had been heard. But the answer to his prayer, why it says now, came through him obeying God's command. He told them what? To send the men to Joppa. If Cornelius had not obeyed God's command and never sent the men to Joppa for Peter, his prayers would never have been answered. Help me, Holy Spirit. And the reason why some of you haven't gotten your prayers answered is because God has given you a command, and you only know what that command is, but you're still wavering on God's instruction. Can I park you for a minute? It's hard for God to answer your prayers when you're still shacking up. Help me, Holy Spirit. It's hard for God to answer your prayers when you're setting traps, creating conflict in the church. It's hard for God to answer prayers when you are giving to the casino more than you are giving to the church. And it's hard, even harder, for God to answer your prayer when you're paying more for your season football tickets than you're paying in your tithes and your offering. I know you don't want to hear this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. But can I tell you that you are living on credit, and God has a way of balancing the books? Don't take my word for church, all of us, these iniquities, meaning all of the things that he has commanded you to do, and you ignored him, and all you've done is to separate yourself from God, and you have caused him to turn his face from God. Is saying, I can't answer your prayer when you have accepted the world's standards as a way of living. If my people who call upon my name to humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and he said, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and hear their name. You know, sometimes when God answers your prayer, it may be in a form of a command. Now, we talked about the first principle, the principle of service. We talked about, here's something else, the principle of supplication. And then, I'm going to throw this in for free. The principle of supernatural. Watch this. Scripture says, the angel spoke to Cornelius and said, send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, who's surveying his people. You know, God had to prepare Peter's heart. If you read that scripture there, he said a vision to him. He was in a vision. He saw what was going on. God had to prepare his heart for the acceptance of the Gentiles, since he had lived an Orthodox Jew all of his life. And the law of Moses was a wall between the Gentiles and the Jews. And this wall has been broken down at the cross when Jesus died.